Welcome to Strength for Today, the preaching ministry of the Central Florida Bible Church, an independent, fundamental, non-denominational Bible church in Winter Park, seeking to proclaim the whole counsel of God, to point all to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to do all, as stated in Revelation 1:9, for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our speaker is Central Florida Bible Church's pastor, John Pereira. You may wish to have paper and pen for important information following the message. For more information regarding prior broadcast and other sermons by Pastor John, please visit our website, www.strengthfortoday.info. That's www.strengthfortoday.info. Now, here is Pastor John proclaiming the strength for today.
Today in our Strength for Today Bible broadcast, we're going to be looking at the question, what's on the menu? Are you hungry today? Are you hungry as you're listening to the Strength for Today Bible broadcast? We're going to be answering that question in your life. What's on your menu? Is it devil's food or angel's food? Now, some of you might be surprised by my question, but in the book of Psalm, chapter 78, verses 24 and 25, the manna that the Lord prepared for the children of Israel was called angel's food. Have you taken time to dine on God's provision for you today? But then there's also the devil's food. You see, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Word of God says, you cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and of the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Are you spending time in the things of the Lord? Or are you taking time to be involved in those things that are of the world, the flesh, and the devil? We read about the manna, the angel's food that the Lord prepared for the children of Israel, in the book of Exodus chapter 16. The Word of God reminds us that in the midst of the rebellion, in the midst of a complaining spirit against Moses and against God Himself, the Lord was willing to send His provision of love. I'm reminded of Jesus Christ in the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. He told the children of Israel, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. That's the message that Jesus provides for us. So I ask you, are you feasting on angel's food or devil's food? Today in our Strength for Today Bible broadcast, we're going to be looking at three lessons about the Lord's manna from heaven. And we're going to see that there are three lessons. First of all, manna explains to us who Jesus is. Secondly, manna explains to us how Jesus came. And thirdly, manna shows us what we must do with Jesus Christ. Let's take a look at the first lesson that the Lord provides for us in the miracle of the angel's food. First of all, manna explains who Jesus is. You know, in Exodus 16 and verse 15, when the children of Israel first saw the manna that God had sent, they didn't know what it was. They didn't know what to call it, so they used the Hebrew word manna, which means, what is it? Jesus Christ was misunderstood. People did not identify him for who he was when he first came. 1 Timothy 3:16 calls him the mystery of godliness when he was God manifested in the flesh. People did not recognize him. And this is demonstrated in the characteristics of manna. The characteristics of manna explain to us who Jesus is. In Exodus 16 and verse 14, manna was small in size. The Bible says it was small as frost would be upon the ground. This speaks of Christ's humility. You know, our Lord came as a baby in the manger of Bethlehem. He was willing to become a servant. In Isaiah 53, He was described as despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Secondly, manna was not only small, but it was round, and its round shape speaks of Christ's eternality without beginning and without end. You remember the words of Jesus to the Pharisees when He said, referring to Abraham, who they so venerated, Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am." He was the I am, the Yahweh of Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14. He was the self-existing one, co-eternal with the Father. Not only was manna small and round, but it was white. Chapter 16 and verse 31 of Exodus reminds us. It was white because that was a picture of Christ's purity and sinlessness, which was necessary if He were to be the Lamb of God to take away the sins of our world. Chapter 16 of Exodus and verse 31 describes a fourth characteristic of the manna. It was sweet like honey. This speaks of Christ's character, and He was indeed a sweet-smelling savor unto God. Psalm 34 and verse 8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." In Exodus 16 and verse 35, the manna was said to be satisfying. It provided for all of the nutrients that the children of Israel needed for 40 years. I ask you today, are you eating angels' food or are you eating devil's food? Are you absorbing and assimilating the things of the world, the flesh and the devil that can never satisfy? Have the things of this world kept you from coming to Christ? Have you failed to see that in the midst of the wilderness you need not starve, but Jesus Christ has provided Himself to meet your needs? Oh, the manna explains to us who Jesus is. Sent from God. But you know, manna not only explains to us who Jesus is, but manna explains to us how Jesus came. And He came in six ways, as illustrated by the provision of the manna. In John 16 and verse 4, the Bible reminds us that the manna came from heaven. Jesus Christ Himself, in John chapter 6 and verse 33, said, "I am the bread of God, which comes down from heaven and gives life unto the world." The manna also came at night. In a time of great darkness, did not Jesus Christ come in a barren time of spiritual barrenness? He was the root out of dry ground. He was the one who came in the midst of spiritual darkness to light the light of the gospel that we might be saved. He came at night. But God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. A third characteristic of the manna that describes how Jesus came, the manna came and floated and landed on a drop of dew upon the ground. And as that manna landed on the dew, that dew encircled the manna and kept it from being contaminated in any way by its environment. Doesn't that speak of our Lord being holy, undefiled, separate from sinners, and yet was the pure, unblemished Son of God, the one in whom was no sin that he might provide salvation for us. Fourthly, Jesus Christ came into a wilderness setting, didn't he? The manna was provided in the wilderness of sin. Christ came into a godless wilderness to give us everlasting life. John 1:12 reminds us, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Fifthly, Jesus Christ came to a rebellious people, just like the manna came to a people that were complaining about food and wanting to go back to Egypt. They complained. They were not happy about God's provision. And yet, the Lord sent his blessing. You know, it's amazing when you look at 2 million people and the fact that they were to receive an omer, which is 6 pints of manna. Figure it out. For 2 million people daily, it would have required 4 freight trains of 60 cars each in order to provide that type of volume of food. How generous God is to us, even in the midst of our rebellion. But listen to me, dear listener. God has blessed you and provided so many blessings, even in the midst of our unfaithfulness. And that's why Romans 2 reminds us that the goodness of God ought to lead us to repentance. His wrath withheld, his judgment withheld, should cause us to turn around and say, "Oh Lord, you're a merciful, merciful Savior. And I want to give my life in obedient unto you." Yes, in the midst of the rebellion of the children of Israel in the wilderness, God still sent his manna, his angel food. And number 6, he came and brought that manna to where the people were. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He came to meet the needs of the people. And he came where the people were. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 6, the Bible tells us, "What saith the word? The word is nigh unto thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart." That is the word of faith which we preach. Romans 10 and verse 8. You know, perhaps more than any country in the world, America has more gospel opportunity and more access to the Word of God. It's indeed near unto us. Churches on every corner, Bible bookstores plentiful, libraries, airwaves, radio waves, the gospel goes out, and yet to those that much is given, much is required. I look at our nation today. We have become gospel hardened. Many believers, professing believers, have become hardened to the gospel, and it no longer brings conviction of sin because they have hardened their hearts against the moving of the Holy Spirit, and in many cases have stopped their ears from hearing the Word of God. I may be speaking to believers today. You have not been faithful in the house of the Lord. You no longer open up the Word of God as you should or take time in prayer. And it's because you've been harboring secret sin that has kept you from fellowship with God. And yet God provides His manna. But are you feasting on angels' food? Or are you feasting on devil's food? The third characteristic of manna is that manna shows us what we must do with Jesus Christ. Not only does it show us who Jesus was and how he came, but manna shows us what we must do with our Savior, Jesus Christ. First of all, there's 5 things that manna shows us what we must do with Jesus Christ. First of all, number 1, we must feel the need. You see, the children of Israel were hungry. And because they were hungry, they were willing to reach out and pick up the manna. Are you hungry? Are you willing to come to the source of life? even the prodigal son, came to the place. Being tired of eating hog slop, the prodigal son was willing to say, "I perish with hunger." Dear listener, I ask you today, you may have been trying to satisfy your hunger on the things of this world, the sins of this world. Are you willing to turn to the only one that can truly satisfy that hunger, that can truly only satisfy and fill that God-shaped vacuum within you? John 6:35, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh unto me shall never hunger." Why don't you come to the one who can truly satisfy? Disobedient Christian, yield yourself to the lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. Yes, we must feel the need. We must see that there's hunger and acknowledge it. But secondly, we must humble ourselves. We must humble ourselves before Jesus Christ. You know, the children of Israel, in order to pick up each one of those morsels that God provided, they needed to stoop down to pick it up. And that's true of our relationship with the Lord. We must humble ourselves. We must acknowledge our need and be willing to be humbled. And sometimes God has to use circumstances and adversity and trials and testings to cause you to be to the place where you're willing to humble yourself. Even believers, God's people, need to be humbled. In 2 Chronicles 7:14 it says, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land." Are you in need of God's forgiveness and healing today? Is your home in need of healing and God's plenteous provision? Humble yourself. Be willing to stoop down to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Feel the need. Admit the spiritual hunger and famine in your life. Humble yourself. Be willing to stoop down to pick up God's provision. You know, pride sends more people to hell than perhaps any other sin. And there are so many people today that are not willing to humble themselves and admit their need of salvation. Whenever we believe in salvation by works in order to gain or enter into heaven, what we're saying is, "I will not humble myself. There's something that I can do to merit my salvation. There's something I can observe. There's something I can aspire to." No, but our salvation is solely of Jesus Christ. And we must take it for ourselves. In Exodus 16 and verse 16, the Bible says every man was to go. One person could not collect it for another. The Lord gave a universal command. Every man shall go and pick up his own portion. As much as I would like to, I would like to provide salvation for every one of you as listeners. But I cannot provide it for you. You must humble yourself and receive Jesus Christ individually. A father cannot do it for his children. Children cannot do it for their parents. Someone once said wisely, "God has no grandchildren." We must all humble ourselves individually and come to the foot of the cross and be saved. The Bible says in John 1:12, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." A fourth characteristic of this manna, which demonstrates what we must do with Jesus, is that in chapter 16 and verse 21 of Exodus, the children of Israel were to pick it up early in the morning. They were not to allow the heat of the day to fall upon that manna. They were to arise early and seek it. There are some listeners today listening to me. You've heard the gospel over and over again. And now the day is far spent and you are still not saved. God is long-suffering, and He's not willing that any should perish. But I want to warn you today that with every opportunity that you hear the Word of God, you harden your heart. The conviction of the Lord and through His Holy Spirit becomes harder and harder and more distant and more distant and easier and easier and easier to reject until we come to the point where we cease to be convicted. You know, it's even possible for disobedient Christians to hear the admonitions of God's Word over and over again, telling them what they need to do and what they ought to be doing, but yet in rebellion and in the sin of the flesh, they persist in disobedience. God can only send chastening then. And it becomes easier and easier to go down that path of sin. But the admonition is to get God's provision early. Young person, receive Jesus Christ early in your life. Just like the children of Israel were to receive the manna early in the day. Oh, don't let your life be squandered. Don't let your body, your soul, and your spirit languish in the fields of sin, where then the consequences of sin will go on. Come early. Repent early. Get right with God early. Isaiah 55 and verse 6 put it this way, "Seek ye the Lord while He may yet be found." Because you see, in the floodgate of adversity, He will not be found. Come to Jesus Christ. There's a fifth lesson which illustrates what we must do with Jesus, illustrated by the manna. The children of Israel were to continue to be feeding on the manna. It wasn't something that they could just do one day and then forget about. They were to keep on feeding on Him daily. Someone once said, "You cannot hoard truth and live on yesterday's victories." And yet there are many people today that are doing just that. There was a time when you were in the Word. There was a time when you were even maybe studying the Bible in Bible college or Bible Institute or even in seminary. And yet, you've been living on yesterday's blessings. And just like the manna, when it was kept too long, it bred worms. And many Christians are suffering from spiritual malnutrition. And they have all types of disease spiritually in their bodies simply because they have not had a fresh portion and infilling of manna in their lives. One of Rabbi Ben Jakai's pupils once asked him, "Why didn't the Lord furnish enough manna for Israel for an entire year all at once?" And the teacher said, "I'll answer you with a parable. Once there was a king who had a son to whom he gave a yearly allowance, paying him the entire sum on the fixed date. It soon happened that the day on which the allowance was due was the only day of the year that the father ever saw his son. So the king changed his plan and gave his son day by day that which was necessary for him every day. And then the son visited his father every morning. You see, he needed his father's unbroken love, companionship, wisdom, and giving. Thus, God dealt with Israel and also deals with us in our daily walk. The Bible says, give us this day our daily bread. The Lord wants us to keep on coming back to Him with our daily needs, to get a fresh portion of God's provision, to get a fresh portion of God's blessing. Yes, the manna exemplifies who Jesus is. He's the sinless Son of God. He is the one who is eternal, rejected of men, but received by His children. The one who is sweet and satisfying. The one who provides all that we need for our spiritual nourishment. The manna explains how Jesus came. He came from heaven. He came in a time of spiritual darkness, but we must come to Him by faith. And we must receive Jesus Christ. Acknowledge the spiritual barrenness of our hearts and lives. Humble ourselves. Take it for ourselves. Do it early and feed on Him continually. Oh, I trust that you will come to Jesus Christ. Receive Him as your personal Savior. It would be a great joy as pastor of Central Florida Bible Church to hear from you and the fact that you've received Jesus Christ as Savior. There may be some disobedient Christians that would seek to say, Lord, I want to come back to the true source of everlasting life, the true source of satisfaction. Oh, if you've made that decision, contact me at the information provided at the end of our broadcast. Let's pray. Father, bless your word. May we dine on the angel's food and not the devil's food of this world. Speak to our hearts. And Lord, as we come to you and receive you into our hearts and lives, we thank you for the promise that the best is yet to come. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, I pray. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to Strength for Today, the radio preaching ministry of the Central Florida Bible Church that meets in the Goldenrod Station, located in Winter Park, just 3 traffic lights east of Cimarron Boulevard at the intersection of Aloma and Palmetto. For more information about Central Florida Bible Church, to comment on the broadcast, to request a complimentary copy of today's message, or to listen to some of the other 500 messages by Pastor John, please visit our website, www.strengthfortoday.info. That's www.strengthfortoday.info. Or you may call Pastor John Pereira at 407-656-9683. That's 407-656-9683. This is Charles Schafe inviting you to come and worship with us tomorrow at the 10 a.m. Bible study classes for all ages and the 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. preaching services. Our prayer service is Wednesday at 7 p.m. May the Lord richly bless you as you go forth to serve Him.